I'm your host, Garth Braithwaite, and this is Web Friends. Welcome back to Web Friends. So this is the first episode of the new season, and I know it's going to be good because we have Stacey Mulcahy on the show, and she's always awesome. So I'm itching to jump straight to the interview, but first I want to introduce Stacey to you in case you don't know her and tell you how I met her. So years ago, Stacey and I co-hosted a podcast for a website called Inside RIA, or sometimes unfortunately pronounced Insideria. It was a project between Adobe and O'Reilly Media. And there were two other hosts with us. We had Leif Wells and Zach Stepik. And we would do these weekly interviews with community people. And we had a mobile unit that we would go and take and record at conferences. And it was a lot of fun. And sometimes it was absolute chaos. In fact, four people might have been too many hosts, but we just enjoyed ourselves immensely. And since that time, Stacey has worked at Big Spaceship, which is an excellent agency in New York, and is currently an evangelist for Microsoft. So now that you know a little bit about Stacey, let's go ahead and get to the interview. But first, a quick word from our sponsors.
This episode of Web Friends is sponsored by Campaign Monitor. Sending email campaigns doesn't need to be a chore. Campaign Monitor makes it fun, easy, and beautiful. Try your hand at their template builder and have a responsive email template ready in 60 seconds. Campaign Monitor also lets you offer their services to your clients at your prices. And if you need help creating better emails, Campaign Monitor just released a free ebook with their top 100 email campaigns of 2013.
Beyond the Desktop is a single-track conference that blends the conceptual and practical. The talks presented by a stellar lineup will give you information you can take back to work the next day, as well as new ideas that will help you consider how you will design and build the web in the future. Their upcoming event is July 28th through 30th in beautiful Nashville, Tennessee. For more information and to reserve your ticket, go to bdconf.com. All right, Stacey. So what is the best advice that you've received, either professionally or in your personal life, that you just kind of sticks with you?
Honestly, I don't know. I think anything that comes out of my dad's mouth is like super golden. And I remember him, I was having a hard time, a really hard time, and just, you know, stuff wasn't going so awesome. And he was, you know, he was just, I was trying to figure out a way to fit in and all sorts of stuff. And he said, you know, he says, you were not born into this world to be boring. You're not a boring person. And he said, whatever you do in your life, don't be beige. And I was like, what does he even mean by that? Like, that sounds so like bad. That sounds like borderline racist almost. Like, what is he saying by this? And it's just the idea of like, and he still says it. He says like, don't be beige. And it's just the idea of like, you know, like, don't be boring, like embrace what you're doing, embrace who you are, embrace all those kind of things. So I always kind of think about that. Like anytime I, you know, I'm very much a, you know, able to make any situation super awkward, or, you know, I say things that I probably shouldn't say, or I have no verbal filter and all those things. And I'm like, yeah, but you know, according to my dad, maybe I am going to be someone's story rather than telling that story. And I would rather be the story.
So do you worry then? Cause I am beige, very much so, all the time. And it's something about the caution of the voices in my own head that are like, don't do that. You're going to get fired. Like, do you have that fear of like lashback?
Yeah. I mean, sure. There's a fear of that to a certain degree. Obviously, I mean, look at the job I'm in. Like, I can't go out spouting my mouth or anything, but you know, it's also just the idea that there's an opportunity to enjoy something or to make something a little bit more interesting than what it is, do it, you know? So no, I try not to worry about that. And I try to just, you know, inherently hope that I have good judgment, like, which, you know, has been proven to be wrong. But, you know, yeah. Do I worry about it a little bit? Yeah. But do I let it control me? No.
Yeah, that's great. I when I think about, your voice online and in person, I don't think that beige is a descriptive word that anyone could use for you in the way that you go about things. We were talking about Draplin before we started and kind of how he likes to, he's very honest and open. And I think that you share that with him. You're very, I don't know. It's not likely that you're just going to say something, to be said. Like, you're honest about what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have time to pretty things up, and this obviously causes problems for me personally, because, you know, people like things to be a little bit softer than what they should be, but, you know, I just kind of like to throw things out there, and part of me is a little, I find a little bit of entertainment in seeing how people respond or deal with things, you know, and I wouldn't say it's provocative, because I'm not trying to be provocative or any of those kind of things. I'm just like, that's how I see it. Like, sometimes my analogies are not so awesome, you know, or whatever, but that's, yeah, I don't know.
I was going through Flickr looking at pictures of Stacey, of you, while I was trying to get the artwork ready for the episode. And I just saw so many of your slides from presentations that people had taken pictures of and posted on. The best was the baby that was all pierced up.
Oh my gosh. I forgot. Yeah.
There's just some great ones out there.
Yeah. The legacy of Prezos, right? When you're like, whoa.
I was trying to reverse engineer it. I was trying to figure out, now what would that have to do with anything?
Oh, I don't even remember. I don't know. That's the whole thing. That's all my Prezos, though. I can always find a way to make the most weirdest of images relate to what I'm talking about.
That's awesome.
It's a talent.
Another thing that I think you do really well is when there seems to be a topic that everyone is talking about over and over again, I don't see you like jumping on the bandwagon for the sake of, oh yeah, I have an opinion on that too. Like, you seem to be, I almost feel like if somebody has said something well, you don't feel the need to, here, let me say that again so I can put my name on it as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I find there's no point in, I pick and choose battles, I think, if you want to call them battles. But I think that, you know, when it comes to, there's so much like the signal to noise ratio and just people like saying the same thing over and over and over again. And I appreciate when someone says something really, really well. And, you know, if you feel that you can't articulate it any better, then why bother? Yeah. Why try? You know, just appreciate it for what it is. Like, hey, you're smart. That's great. That sounds awesome. Yes. I started doing that in the last year a lot. Like, yes, more of this. Like,
yeah.
You know.
Building up rather than trying to somehow take credit. I don't know. That's what I feel like some of the community, not good people in the community, but sometimes it feels like there are people who are just trying to.
I think that for some people, it's like, and it's not a criticism by any means. I think that, you know, you're out there, you're reading Medium posts, you're reading blogs, you're reading tweets, and you have a point of view on something, and it might not be much more different than what has already been said, but, you know, sometimes you still feel that need to kind of go and explore it and say it, and you know, I think that, you know, I think we need to step back a little bit, maybe, and just kind of think about what has already been said and just, you know, lift it up a little bit higher than kind of diluting it with more of the same message. I don't know. I don't see it all the time, but sometimes every once in a while, there'll be a huge topic that comes up and it'll be all like, this is the right way to do something. And then, you know, you start to realize that no one really knows what the right way to do anything is, that we're all just kind of figuring out this stuff together, and that, you know, what was the right, you know, a year ago is no longer right today. Like, I mean, prime example, Hamburger Nav, right? People are all like, oh my God, don't use that. And then last year it was like, oh my God, it's the only thing to do. And it's just like, you know, it's kind of amusing, right? It's like anything, you know, that's like good now, you know, that in 6 months, doesn't matter if it's technology, if it's food, if it's, you know, whatever. It's just polar opposites all the time, right?
Yeah. Yeah. The lashback. Sometimes when something's super popular, the lashback is just as extreme.
Oh my gosh, tell me about it.
Which is funny. So this brings up a good point. You're talking about people voicing their opinions. I wanted to ask, how do you balance that sort of work, right? Because your blog is fantastic and you've got the bitch casts and you've got, I don't know, you speak at conferences, and that's part of your job now as an evangelist. But before that, when you were working at Big Spaceship and when you were up in Ottawa, what was the place up there?
Technician,
that's right. I still have a t-shirt. How did you balance that work with your daily work? Like, did you have How did you get around to actually doing it? Because sometimes, you know, work is busy. How do you find time, or how do you make it a priority, I guess, is a better way of saying it.
Well, I guess, I mean, I guess to clarify anyways, like my day-to-day job is to be doing more of those things inherently, but a lot of the stuff that I was doing before, speaking at like more design-oriented conferences, stuff like that, I'm still doing, and I'm still doing as my own self, not necessarily representing my my company. So, you know, which is very much the same thing that I was doing several years back before I joined where I am now. So, you know, I think the struggle there, I mean, it's, you know, speaking to me, public speaking and speaking at conferences to me is just such an honor. And it's, and I love it more than I love anything. Like it's, if I would never want to give it up if I didn't have to, because there's something for me about being able to, and maybe it's just the way I present, but you know, I love the idea of just getting up on a stage and just throwing it down, you know, for an hour. And this is the way I see it. Come see me after, let's chat about it. And the idea that, you know, I can have some opinions and I can state what I think or my experiences or walk people through those things or share process or all those good things. And it's like, for me, it's one of the best ways I feel like I can give back to the community in a lot of ways, to a community that's given so much to me. And so for, you know, for public speaking, I mean, I think a lot of people underestimate how long and how much effort sometimes those things can take. I think some people can just go up and wing it. And I think I'm seasoned enough that I'm comfortable when I'm not prepared, but it still takes a lot of preparation time, just thinking about what you're going to say and how you're going to say it and how you're going to execute it and all those things. And so for me, it's like, you know, especially if I know I have a presentation to give, you know, I'm prepping a month, 2 months in advance, and I'm just trying to chip away as much as I can, you know, and speaking is one thing, but just managing the time around it. Like I've always been very fortunate, generally very fortunate. I would say there's one company that didn't really have a great policy about public speaking, but otherwise I, you know, most of everywhere I've been at has been very supportive, and they've been very much like, we will give you the days off, you know, and it's not days off. It's we'll give you the days away. Like, you know, so anytime I'm on conference and stuff like that, I'm working, like I'm still working. I'm just remote working. And you know, especially for digital agencies, that's kind of like a really big thing for them to do often because, you know, remote workers and digital agencies, they don't really go hand in hand, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I've always been pretty fortunate to have companies that'll be like, you know, just do the work where you're, wherever you're at, and you know, we'll give you the days away. I've had to work at one place where I had to take vacation time, even though I was speaking on behalf of them, which I thought was complete and utter bullshit. But you know, it was it's, you know, so it goes both ways. I think it's, you know, making the time and understanding what. And you know this as well as I do, like you've spoken and if it's a priority for you and it's good for your professional development and you feel like you're getting a lot out of it, and if it in return can bring something to your company or, you know, all those kind of things, or even as a freelancer, if it can bring you more awareness and more, press or whatever you need, you know, then you got to make the time to kind of do it.
Yeah. So I've noticed though in the last few years that I've seen your conference topics and the way that you're going about things, it doesn't feel like you're going up and showing code. Like I think that used to be, I don't know if you ever did that. Did you? You used to get up and show, sure. But it seems less about that now for you.
Yeah. I mean, I think so, you know, it took a long, so it's actually interesting because I was talking to someone about this progression a couple days ago, and it's, you know, when I first started speaking, one of the first presentations I gave was actually how to transition from AS2 to AS3. So that's all technical.
Yeah.
And I showed code, and I'm fine talking code. I'm fine showing code. I'm fine opening up a project and showing people like what I'm working on, and I don't care. You know, but I have to be honest. Code on a screen and in a presentation, to me, it's not that interesting, and it never has been. And I really, really rarely ever see someone who makes it super interesting. And so I think the more that I presented, you know, I've been asked to present on technical topics, and often I do, and I'm usually in the technical track, but I tend to try to abstract it out a little bit more so that if people want to look at code, they can go download something, they can go to a GitHub, they can go do this. And I try to abstract it more to process and those kind of things, I think, a little bit more. And I'm better at those kind of presentations, I think, personally. But I also just know personally, I don't want to sit and watch someone fumble over live coding. And I don't want to put someone through that either. Or I don't want to be the person up there with like one of those laser pointers, like, hey, you see this function where I miss a semicolon? Oh, look, there's a cat. Like, I don't want to be that person, you know? So, when it comes to technical topics, you know, like, frankly, there might be some people who are much more qualified at a conference to speak at a much deeper level about a technical topic and let them. So, you know, like I said, when I first started, I think it was about proving myself a little bit for a variety of reasons. And then just realizing that, like, hey, I mean, I can do that and that's fine, but it doesn't mean I need to.
You bring it up. It's a weird thing that we show code sometimes as developers, because if you went to a design conference and they were like, let me live design in front of you, like, that would be weird, right? Like,
I mean, you don't see like a designer or an illustrator going like, okay, by the way, you know, you see these complex paths and here's what I do and blah, blah, blah. And did you know this trick? Like, sometimes you'll see like people sharing a couple of little tricks, you know, and like when it comes to mind, it's like Joshua Davis talking like years and years ago about how he created a palette from a GIF or something, like, you know, those little things are kind of interesting, but it's the same way. Like, I don't want to see anyone, you know, fumbling through code, you know, and that's why any of the stuff that I think is a technical talk where people are showing code, it's better if it's canned code, you know, copy paste, here you go, you know, blah, 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 like those kind of things. But I mean, seriously, you're sitting in a chair, you don't like have anywhere to sit on your computer. It's not a workshop. Someone's showing code that probably isn't in a font size that's big enough, and the colors aren't there's not enough contrast, the room's not dark enough. Like, you know, it's all those things. It's just, I stopped. I was like, there's no point unless someone wants me. You know, I did workshops instead, I guess, is basically what I did. I did a couple like JavaScript workshops or Flash workshops, and that's better. That's, to me, that's where that should be done.
Yeah. So then what is your goal then? When you're doing if you're speaking at Reasons to be Creative this fall in Brighton.
Yeah.
And what's your goal for the session? Not that it has to be a goal, but the optimal outcome for you of this presentation, what do you hope people come away with?
Oh God. I mean,
it's not like I need to get a ton of Twitter followers or I want everyone to like me. Like that's not your style.
No, I think for me, honestly, when I'm speaking, and I know that people say, okay, well, you know, a person needs to know their stuff. Yes, I need to know their stuff. So I always want to come across like, obviously, I know what I'm talking about. So that's a challenge, right? You gotta like, you gotta fleece a whole bunch of people in the audience. But, you know, like, I think for me, when it comes to speaking, Reasons is something in particular. But overall, when it comes to speaking, I want people to enjoy the time they have spent with me. And to me, that's the most important. And a lot of people see this as like, oh, you know, you're just being entertaining for the sake of entertaining. And for me, if you can walk away from one of my sessions and have one or two things that you can either integrate into your workflow, that you can share with someone else, or that, you know, is useful to you in some, you know, form, and you enjoyed the time you spent with me, that's a win. Because I think a lot of people think, you know, you go to presentations and someone's going to show you something that's going to change your life. And you do see those presentations and they don't happen very often. And I'm pretty sure I'm never going to be the person to give you that. You know what I mean? Like, and I'm okay with that. So I think those are kind of like my overarching goals, is like a couple of takeaways, whatever they may be. Maybe it's process. Maybe it's just even a link that's useful to you. I don't know. Maybe whatever it is. And that you didn't fall asleep in my session. You know, or you didn't spend the whole time texting someone or whatever, that like I actually entertained you. And to me, that's very important. And some people would probably disagree with me, and that's cool too. I think for reasons I'm talking, I'm actually co-presenting for the first time. So, or one of the first times, I have a collaborator here in Brooklyn who does a lot of hardware and I do software, and his name's Dave Scheinkoff. And so him and I presented at FITC, and so we're going to present at Reasons, and we're going to talk about what it means to collaborate, and how do you do that, and how do you get out of your comfort zone in terms of hardware and software. And so for me, it's almost going back to square one a little bit with Reasons, I think, because I feel like I'm going back to, you know, where I started in terms of I have to prove myself in this space. I have to prove that I know what I'm talking about when it comes to microcontrollers or when it comes to those kind of things. And so so it's a little bit back to the beginning, I think, with that one. But, you know, once again, an hour that maybe someone will take something away or you know,
so
at least have a laugh.
How do you prepare for something like that, right? Like, if you've got a co-presenting, it's not like you're going to be like, all right, let's script it out and we'll say every other word in a really creepy, like, twin-like fashion.
Like, how do you know we're not doing that?
Or speak at exactly the same time every... Oh, that would be so creepy. I don't think I could watch an hour of that.
Well, I mean, I think for Dave and I, it's good because we know each other really well, and we're we got a similar sense of humor. And for him, I think it was interesting because he came to FITC. We had a small little session together, and then he saw me present in a much bigger room before he presented. So I think he understood a little bit more what I was about. He just gave you the Canadian twang there.
That's good.
But you know, I think, like, for us, we're going to work on stuff, or we've been working on stuff, and we're going to try to execute some stuff over the summer that we think is interesting. And then, you know, I have a very tried and true, I guess, or very, like, I like to present in a very certain way. And he's kind of with it. So, you know, we'll prepare ahead of time, but I'm a person who doesn't practice my talks ever. I make my PowerPoint, my keynote or whatever, and then I'm done. And I never ever even think back, or I don't practice it, or I don't get anyone to review it. So this is going to be interesting.
So
I'm worried about that.
Is it a bit of a continuation from the FITC talk? Is it?
Yeah, a little bit, but, like, I mean.
But you're tweaking things.
Yeah, well, no. I mean, our FITC talk was kind of about collaboration and a couple of things we worked on, for sure. But definitely this one's going to be more about our work and you know, kind of the things we produced over the span of 4 months or whatnot. So, so yeah, it's continuation, but it needs to be overhauled.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm not going to be out there. It's sad. But it's one of my favorite conferences. I still have my Reasons to be Creative bag.
I love Reasons so much.
It's a great one. Are there any other conferences that you... I know you're a big fan of FITC.
FITC Toronto, to me, is like my home ground. I've gone for years, and I've presented probably 8 or 9 years now. It's pretty crazy. And to me, I feel like... it's funny, I was explaining this to Sean Pucknum, who organizes it. I was like, I feel like I'm the ambassador, the unofficial ambassador a little bit, because I, like, know a lot of the people, and I get really excited. I get to see them. So Toronto for me is, like, kind of where my heart is. Reasons is, like, for me, one of the funnest conferences, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to actually this year I'm going to be in North Carolina. I'm doing BlendConf.
So good.
Yeah, I've heard so many good things, and I'm really stoked about those. For me, it's just like, you know what I did actually last year with Val Head is she invited me to Web Design Day, and so I was coming from Halifax, I think. I had no sleep, got off the plane, went right to the basically the venue, and I had to present at the end of the day. Draplin was supposed to, but we had to rejig the schedule due to personal things. And so I was closing out the conference with no sleep, and it was crazy. But it's probably one of the better presentations I've ever given in my life, because I just did not care. I was just like, you guys ready to get weird? Because it's gonna, because I'm about to drop it on you. Like, it was pretty good. So Web Design Day was actually, like, for a one-day event, it was really, really amazing. And the people there were super friendly. Like, everyone wanted to come up and talk to you about their work. And I love when people do that. Like, yeah. I love when people are actively, like, just wanting to share what they're working on, not even about like what your opinion is, or just like, this is, you know, this is what I do, this is where I work. Like, I love that. So for me, it doesn't matter where I'm at. That's my favorite part of those things.
I worry when I give a session and I don't talk with people, don't come up, talk to me afterwards. Not that I need that, but.
No, but it's like one of those things, like you, it's like validation, right? Yeah. And I think that's a very North American thing, because when I was in Amsterdam, I spoke several times. I mean, I've been there, you know, maybe four times now. Yeah. And no one ever comes up to me after, ever. And yet I always got really good feedback. And so it's just like one of those things where I think it's almost like, you know, maybe it's like a North American thing.
The culture is different. And I went and spoke in Mexico. And it went too far. People like come up and talk to you, and then they ask to take their picture with you. And I'm like, I don't feel okay with that, because I'm not somebody who, And so I lived in Mexico for a couple of years, and that's really just kind of how they are. They're just like, yeah, let's take pictures.
I like that. When in Mexico, yeah, let's just take pictures.
Yeah, you should do that at a conference after someone speaks. Like, hey, can I get your picture?
I think I have done that.
Yeah, so you mentioned a couple of really good things that were in previous episodes, so I'm going to totally plug shamelessly. Val Head has an excellent episode. Berman Painter, the organizer of BlendConf, has an episode. And there's actually a discount code, so I'll put that in the show notes if you want to register for BlendConf. I'll be there. It's like one of the first sessions or first conferences in a long time that I'm going to or that I'm not speaking at, just because it was so awesome last year. I don't want to miss it, so...
Nice. I'm super stoked. He presented after me at FITC, so he knows what he's in for.
Yeah, so that's, he asked me to speak last year after we spoke at Web Unleashed together, pretty much the same exact topic, right after each other in the same room. So,
nice.
Yeah, it was good. But yeah, those are really good episodes. One more question. We're gonna wrap it up here soon, but if you had a chance to go back and give past Stacy advice from the future, what would you tell yourself that you've kind of had to learn the hard way?
Oh, like professionally?
Doesn't matter. Anything that, is there something that you wish someone had just been like, Stacy, you need to do this. It's going to change your life. And you didn't. So you had to figure it out the hard way, and it was,
oh man,
painful.
You know, get the Super Mario cheats. Just kidding.
Get the Nintendo Power for Super Mario 3. It'll change everything.
You know, I think I think the most, like, I've learned in the last 10 years, maybe I've softened a little. This is a little scary. But it's, you know, more about interpersonal skills, I guess. And I just wish I would have told me, you don't always have to throw down, you know, it doesn't always have to be a conflict or a straight on, you know, I don't know what the word is, but you
like
know,
a,
in the
like
past,
a confrontation, you don't have to.
Yeah. Like in the past I was very much just like, you know, you would send me an email and I'd write no. Right. Like, and I didn't mean it like a jerk thing. I just, that's the way I deal with stuff sometimes, is I'm just to the point and blunt and no, you know, that's a very, what's his name? Oh my God. The guy who did, J.S. Lint, Douglas, Crawford. That's the famous thing that he did in a GitHub request. He just wrote no. And so, you know, I don't need to be doing that. You know, sometimes, I think I would tell myself that sometimes just before you open your mouth, just step back a little bit and just think about where the other person's coming from. Because once I started to learn how to do that, wow, people started to like me. It was weird. Like that, and say no after three bourbons, I think is what I would tell myself.
Nice. So don't be blunt to other people, but be blunt to yourself, especially after three bourbons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally.
Nice. So have you found, like, when you said think where the other person's coming from, I think about community involvement, especially with new people. I noticed that you are now doing office hours.
Yeah.
How is that going? Like, I feel like new people need a little bit more fostering than just a no, right? Like me personally, I definitely need that when I'm learning something new.
Yeah, I mean, so I guess the office hours thing was like, I don't even know if it's going to take, to be honest, but it was, you know, I know a couple, to be honest, like, I was talking to a young woman. She was like, you know, in her third year of university or whatnot, and electrical engineer, really, really smart. And she was saying that how, you know, this is in New York, and how she wanted to attend a couple of these meetups, but she felt very, she just didn't feel comfortable going, you know, is the best way to put it.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, like, anytime you want to go, I'll go with you. I'll be your wingman. I'm happy to go. I'm happy to, you know, weather the storm with you. No problem. Like, you want to do this. You shouldn't let that stop you. You know, figure out what makes you feel comfortable and just do it. And so, you know, I started doing that with her. And then I tweeted about it. And I said, listen, if you ever want to go to a tech event in New York as a female or a male, I mean, I don't really care, whatever. And you need someone to go with. Because it's going to motivate you to go, and it's better for you, like, you know, your personal development. Like, I'm your person. I will go. And so I've met a couple people, like, quite a few people have taken me up on that in New York. And so I've gone to all sorts of stuff. Just because, you know, if that's what you need to do, then do it. Let's go. And it's good for me, too. And so then with office hours, I was actually recently it was John Davey from Reasons. He hit me up in an email and he basically said, you know, I have a speaker. She's spoken before. But, you know, she's going to be speaking at Reasons. Hasn't spoken there. Just wanted to get like your insight, you know. And I think that's I thought, wow, I don't know who this person is, but that's really smart. Like, I've never done that. I've never thought of reaching out to someone who's been there before to gauge the audience or anything. And I thought, wow, this person's, like, really on the ball. And then I was like, whoa, wait, you know, John asked me. That's weird. Like, he must, you know, oh, okay, he respects me or I'm in a position of responsibility or what's going on here? And anyways, I met with her and went over, like, you know, Prezzo and crowd and just what to expect and, you know, just bounce some ideas off each other. You know, it was great. And I realized, like, I really love doing those kind of things. And I would love to see, you know, I love to see obviously more women speaking, but it's not the gender thing. I think that if you're a person in technology and you want to be doing things in technology and you feel like you need something that I can give you, whatever it is, if it's a connection, you know, and or if you want to do a speaker proposal or you just got a situation you're not quite sure, you feel like you could use some advice or whatever. Like, I feel like that's a way that I could maybe give back, and maybe I'm not the right person to do it. Like, I have no idea. But, you know, it's just my way of kind of like trying to open it up a little bit and be like, hey, the communication's open. Just like have at it. You know,
yeah, that's great.
You know, like I've had a couple of women definitely hit me up, and I really hope that I get a couple guys. Like, you know, I want to even the playing field. Like, it doesn't matter, you know, gender or anything. It's just like if you want to chat tech, let's do it. Or if you need help with, especially with the speaking stuff, I would love to help people. You know, do that, because I know personally for me it's incredibly rewarding, and I think that for many other people they would find it equally rewarding.
Yeah. And with your connections and your experience, I mean, you mentioned eight or nine years at FITC Toronto. Are you gonna get like a decade award? You need something, right? Like
I don't know. Plaque. We should let them know.
maybe a championship belt that someone has to wrestle
well,
you for.
Well, you know, I think the only other person who's kind of trumping me is Grant Skinner.
Yeah.
So I think he's spoken since the very first one or the second one for sure.
Well, yeah. So anyway, with your connections or at least your experience, you'll be able to say, you know what, if this is something you want to do, here's someone you should talk to. Like, I think that's great.
Yeah. You know, yeah. And it's one of those things where it's even pointing people in the right direction, you know, like just saying straight up, like, oh, you're in this field and you're thinking about this, you know, here's what you probably need to get ready for that. Or here's what, you know, a couple things you need to consider, or maybe you should go to this meetup, or, you know, it's just helping people kind of, you know, sort out, you know, what they might need to do. And it's, you know, I've been fortunate here in New York because we work with a lot of schools. So I actually get the opportunity to Sad generation that I get to mentor. Man, I feel bad for them. But I actually get to mentor quite a few people and give them a sense of how to build out their ideas, or what's the best way to market something, or how do you create your own personal brand, or all that kind of stuff that, who knew I'd be talking about or some kind of source of, like I know what I'm doing there. But it's something I enjoy doing. So yeah, I opened up office hours. I hope people take advantage of them. I think people get really shy about that kind of thing. So we'll see.
So when are your office hours?
Tuesdays mornings, 10 to 12. But honestly, it's one of those things where it's like, you want to chat, just hit me up on Twitter. That's the best way to get me. We'll figure out a time. I'll make myself available. Yeah. Like it's really that simple.
Okay. So it's Bitch Who Codes is her Twitter handle. And
yep.
It's the Bitch.
Say it again. Say my name, Gar. Say my name.
Bitch Who Codes. And it's thebitchwhocodes.com for your blog. Which threw me. I had to figure that out. I don't know why I was so dumb. But there's fantastic stuff on there, and that's where I saw the office hour stuff. So there's more details on the blog if you want to go check it out. I really appreciate you taking the time, Stacey, to come on. Actually, I just am glad to have an excuse to talk to you again.
Aw, that's so sweet. I mean, we should do this more often, but I need to tell you right now that I'm looking at my keyboard, and I believe that if I turned my computer upside down, I would have a whole nother lunch. Sorry, it's really gross. Yeah.
Do you want to take a picture and post that? We can put that in the show notes.
Okay. we should do this more often.
And I'm excited to see you at BlendConf this fall.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. I cannot wait.
All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening. We've got regular schedule now. We're back to season two, regular episodes every Friday. We've got Johnny Hallman next week. But we've got some great episodes coming up. All the stuff's on the schedule at webfriends.io/schedule. We've actually got Dan Mall, who I think you introduced me to him, Stacey. I think so.
Probably. I love Dan Mall.
Yeah.
Dan Mall's my industry crush. Guy's the smartest guy I know.
He's a good guy. And so, great episodes. Go check out the lineup and keep listening every Friday. But thanks. Thanks for listening to the episode. I really enjoyed talking to Stacey, and I'm glad she was able to be on the show. So, our van, we have a lot of kids, so we got a minivan, and our license plate says Nerd Van. People know us driving around town because we wear our nerd flag on our sleeve, so to speak, or on our license plate. But in our family, we are fans of being nerds. And to us, what that means, in the positive sense of the word, is to become passionate or interested in something that may not be popular or that interest may not be shared by people around you. And I highly encourage this. When you find something new that you love, go nerd out. Get to know everything about it and let that new weird love motivate you to try something new. You never know where these passions can take you in the future, but for me, it's always led me to something positive. Go follow us on Twitter at WebFriends.io. Go leave a note, a review, a rating for the show on iTunes. There's a link on WebFriends.io. Also, big thanks to our sponsors, Campaign Monitor and BDComp, for supporting WebFriends. Thanks to Good Stuff for helping us stream this episode live. You can listen every Friday at noon Pacific at goodstuff.fm/live. And most of all, thank you for listening. You are awesome.